All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Good to see you out this morning. We had another little turn for the cold this past week. So it's never gone till after the Resurrection Sunday, which is, what day is Easter this year? The first. What is that, 3 weeks from today? Is that right, 3 weeks from today? 18th, 25th, is that right? Yes. We're finishing up chapter 15 of John, and Jesus reminds us of what the world's attitude is going to be toward us if we're his followers. It's nothing new, and I want to read a couple of verses, one out of Numbers chapter 14. And you remember God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt in bondage. And they were wandering around getting ready to go in the promised land, and they didn't want to take God at his word, and so they just were rebellious. And in chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 2, this is what it says: "And all of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God have had us died in Egypt, or would God have had us die in the wilderness?" And It's always that way. When people fall out with God and get mad with God, they get mad with God's representatives, whether it's a preacher or whether it's... And that's always the way it's been. When you fall out with God, you would fall out with God's representative. And that's exactly what Christians are. And that's exactly what he teaches about in this rest of this paragraph today in chapter 15. If you remember... how this started coming about, and we've really seen it bad during Obama's administration, and that is the view that the world has attacked Christianity. And it's been right out there in the face. It's not subtle at all. But in 2000, I believe it was, I remember it, when Miss Laura, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, y'all know who that is, right, on the radio, a Jewish counselor who always called a spade a spade. She just said, you know, this is wrong, this is right, you need to take responsibility for your actions, and then pass it off to someone else. That particular segment is when she was dealing with homosexuality. He said it's a deviant behavior. It pretty much didn't pull any punches. Well, when the show was over, all the homosexuals gathered outside of the office. Y'all remember reading about that? Because they said she was in, that's, you know, hate speech. And that's always the way it's been. Anytime someone was a representative of what God said, they've always been hated by the world. And it hasn't changed. Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7? Whenever he's given a rundown of the history of what God has done, and when he got to the point where he said, where he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the Jews were so angry at him that they killed him. And who was holding the jackets of the people who killed him? Y'all remember? Paul. We would probably look at him as the first martyr, the one who was killed simply because he believed in Jesus. And from there, it's just continued. It hasn't gotten any better. It's only got worse. That's exactly what we see. And under Obama's administration, we just saw it more and more intensified than ever before. Even though Clinton was a pagan, these things didn't happen under him. But Obama catapulted it from his position. And we'll see some of these things that Jesus talks about. Man, we've really seen them intensify in the last 15 years in America. But we shouldn't be surprised about it, because that's exactly what's going to happen. In verse 18, it starts a new paragraph. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Now remember, just because we've already been studying the book of John, in the book of John alone, the word hate is used by John 13 times. It's only used 23 times in all four Gospels, and 13 of them are in here. Why? Because we saw firsthand how the Jews responded to Jesus. Man, they hated him. I mean, that's just it. And that's exactly what he says. He says, you know that they hated me before they hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Wow. So in this paragraph, he's reminding the disciples. Now, what has he been telling them already? He's been teaching them how important it is for you to love one another. Why? Because the world's not going to love you. They are not. And it's a absolute clear thing. If we walk with Jesus, the world is not going to like us. And that's exactly what he unfolds here. If you go back in history, it started with Stephen, meaning after Jesus had died on the cross, who was a contemporary of John, was alive before John, wrote the Gospel of John, died, was Polycarp. He was there at Smyrna back in 150 whenever he died. They arrested him and said, you know, they took him before the council and said, if you would look upon all these Christians and you will look to them and say, away with you atheists, and turn your back on them, we'll let you go. So in spite of that, what he did was he turned to the pagan crowd and he said, away with you atheists. And they came to chain him because they were going to burn him at the stake. And he said, well, no, you ain't got to put a chain on me. The same one I follow would give me the strength. And he stood there around the wood without any chains on him, and they burned him to death. Why? Because he followed Jesus. It didn't just start. I mean, it's just been getting worse and been getting worse and been getting worse. But you look down through history and you can see, you know, it's the very same thing. The world hated Jesus, still hates Jesus. And anyone who represents Jesus, they're going to hate us, and it's going to come out. They can't hide it. If the world hates you, remember first that it hated me first. And I'm really the reason, if you follow me, that's why they hate you. Look at these verses. They're all over the place. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's all over the place where he says, this is the way it's going to be. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, the word world, cosmos, has several different meanings. It doesn't mean the geographical world in this context of just what is out there. It doesn't mean just the world of people. It doesn't mean that. Here's what it means. It refers to the created moral order in active rebellion against God. That's it. You know, just like when Satan started and he says, you know, I want to do my own thing. That's where it started. So when we see this concept of the world, we mean the concept of people who do not want to have anything with God and that are anti-God and live in a way in which God has no influence in their life. Okay, so that's what that means when we say the world hates us. That's what that is. That's a philosophy. It is a society of rebels and therefore finds it hard to tolerate those who are in joyful allegiance to the Creator that they are rebelling against. You know, it's always been that way. if there was a whole crowd, I'm just going to use drinkers. You can put anything there, whatever it is. You can put dope smokers or liquorheads or whatever you want to call them. You put them all in one group, and what they want to do is they want everyone to be like them. They don't want anyone coming in that would convict them by not participating, especially if these people are supposed to call themselves believers. You know, they don't want any. So they'll try to move you into their field, and if you don't move with them, they will ostracize you and attack you. That's just the way it goes. Why? They don't want anything convicting them of where they are as wrong. And that's exactly what it is. I remember reading the story whenever Madeline O'Hara was interviewing Bob Harrington a long, long time ago. And after that interviews, they reported that she had said, you know, I'd always hated, y'all remember who she was, right? Okay. She said, I'd always hated Christianity intellectual, but she said, now I hate all of it. And just said, it's anti-this and anti-this, and it just wants to take all the fun out of the world, and just that's the way they see it. Anything that challenges us, anytime someone does something different than we, than that is normal for us, we automatically look at it and, you know, we kind of get defensive sometimes, and especially from a religious standpoint. The Christian is not hated as a human individual who is repulsive to the one who hates him on account of their personal being and action. It's not just because we're different humans. It's because of who we are following. That's what he says. Instead, we are hated or resented as the bearer or representative of a specific claim and cause, which is Jesus and the gospel. That's what Jesus said, right? They're going to hate you because of me. They're not going to just hate you because of you. They're going to hate you because you are my representative. If we are his representative, too many times, you know, you look back at history and you see what has happened. Many, many enemies have warred against Christianity from the beginning on all kind of fronts. Since the apostles' days, you have, Paul knew it. If you go look at this verse, what did he say? He says, there is an open door over there, but there's many adversities. And what happened to Paul? Was he constantly, was killed for it finally, but he was always beaten and left for dead. Why? Because of the gospel. Why? Because people don't want to be confronted with what they oppose. Several enemies warred against Christianity on various fronts. The pagans, mythologies of Greek and Rome, man, Paul and John, they had them around them. It was not foreign to them. You know, we're confronted on a different front than they were, but they had the same thing. They had goddesses of Zeus and Jupiter and Poseidon and Neptune all over the place. Aphrodite, Venus, they have different names in Greek, and but they're the same gods. They were around them. And then whenever Greece went down, Rome took up, and what happened was, as a result of their being victorious, they ended up worshiping their Caesars, their emperors. And they had something called Caesar worship, where it got to that point where every year, every person that wanted to be faithful to Rome, you had to go to one of the places, take a pinch of incense, put it on the altar, and say, Caesar is Lord, and bow down and worship him. Now, you could still go home and worship whatever you wanted to, but you had to show your loyalty to Rome once a year by doing that. And when the Christian says, you know, we're not going to do it, that's why they ended up in the amphitheaters. That's why they were killed. Why? Because they saw them as a threat to society because they wouldn't bow down. They called them cannibals. They called them all kind of stuff. Nero, you know, comes along, and they burned down Rome and blamed the Christians for it, to try to get off. But it's always been there. It's not anything brand new. However, the more Christians they killed, the more rapidly Christianity grew. Tertullian, who came along in 150, this is what he said. You know, he said, you may kill us, but you'll never destroy us. And his famous quote is this, the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. I don't know if you keep up with anything that's going on across the world, but they claim now, and with some reliable sources, there are more Christians in China than there are communists. Why? Because over there, you're serious about walking with Jesus. Because if you're serious, and it's in house churches underground, you know, there is a government church, but the preacher has to say exactly what the government okays, so the government controls it. So the true Christians are underground, and they say that absolutely there are more of those over there now than there are communists. Why? Because of persecution. We don't know what it is. You know, we don't know what persecution is here in the United States compared to that. The way of the world is to praise dead saints. Ain't that right? You let someone die, and boy, we'll put them on the wall. But what do? We persecute the living ones. The ones that are taking a stand, oh, man, we persecute those. That's exactly, that was anonymous. I didn't come up with that. The Obama administration provided a classic example of how you say, well, we're not threatened in this country with our lives, not yet. But here is a very subtle way in which it starts. Here's what they did. Numerous of his representatives and Obama himself shifted the language from freedom of religion to freedom of worship. You know what that means, right? Oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want to in your church, but you can't talk about Jesus on your job. You know, if you talk to somebody about Jesus out in the public, they see that as harassment, so you can't, as harassment, so you can't do that. So you see the difference? Very, very subtle. Oh yeah, you can worship, but you got to keep it in there. You know, you can't do it out there. Well, y'all had a thing of it with the bass here a couple years ago, didn't you? Where you're not even supposed to say God bless you or anything, right? So, I mean, it's not strange to us. We know exactly the very same thing that he promoted. There was more ungodliness done under his administration than we've seen in a long, 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 long time. And we'll see it if it ever turns around. If we don't, it's just going to get worse. Though these two phrases may appear to be similar, freedom of worship and freedom of religion, it is a severe and deadly reduction of freedom of religion. Why? Freedom in religion is not limited to what takes place within the confines of the church and its worship. Oh, yeah, but you can't do anything outside. You're not free to worship out there in the open like you want to. You're not free to talk about Jesus. You know, especially you would be like being in the Middle East, where it's a capital offense to speak anything against Islam. If you try to witness anyone, you can die for your faith. We don't know what that is. You know, we saw quite a bit of it in the media in the last year, if you pay attention, of especially in Egypt, where they're just killing people left and right. We don't have a clue. Some of these same people who keep up with things say that there's more people died in the last century for Jesus' sake than all the ones from the time Jesus died up until this point. We've lost that many. We just haven't lost them here in the United States, but all over the rest of the world, in Africa, in the Middle East, that's exactly what's happened. Why? Because over there it's a capital crime to be a Christian in some of those places. Freedom of worship marginalizes Christian speech so that liberties only exist within the confines of the church. But it does not guarantee anything out there in the public, where they could talk about naturalism and atheism or whatever they want to anywhere else, but you start talking about Jesus and, oh, that's harassment. So you see that, what that is? And he's behind a lot of that as well. Freedom to worship essentially muzzles the Christian in the public square, where you don't have a right anymore. So what is that? It's a persecution. It's a way of, everything now is hate speech, right? Oh, well, you can't disagree with me. If you disagree with me, that's a show of hate. Isn't that right? I mean, that's exactly what's going on. How do you escape that? Man, if that's been going all this time and it's how can I avoid that? You can't. If you were of the world, if your whole philosophy was of the world, which is what? Wealth, power, whatever makes me happy. You can sum it up in really kind of four words. If that's your whole philosophy, you're probably not a follower of Jesus. But he says, if you were that mindset, the world's going to love you. But if you're not of that mindset, it's not. Christians are former rebels. He says, what? You were there, but I chose you. I called you, and you responded. We were former rebels, but now by the grace of God have been won back to the allegiance of our King, which is God the Father through the person of Jesus. So now our allegiance is to him, and the rest of the world is not. It is not likely to prove popular with those that persist in rebelling against God. Why is it they don't want the believer around? Because it's convicting. When you walk in a place and the Holy Spirit's living in you because you're a believer, I don't care what is going on, automatically, without saying a word, the presence of the Holy Spirit convicts people, and they don't want you around. It's a clear sign that, what? He says it in a moment. He says, because they don't love the Father. Basically is the reason. However, Christians cannot think of themselves as superior. We're not superior. We've just, by God's grace, responded. It is not us. It is Christ in us. Still, we should always be conscious that to a rebellious world, we are objects of wrath. They hate God. We love God. They take it out on God. They take it out on us. They can't see God. All they see is us as a representative. So guess what? They go after us. Isn't that what happens? Whenever someone's hurting, they don't really care who they go after. They just want to go after someone. And how true that is. Hurting people hurt people. They might not and usually it's the family members. They don't really mean intentionally to hurt the family members, but because they're hurting, they'll hurt whoever's close to them. And they just don't see that, but that's just the way that works. Hurting people hurt people. How is it? How many times can you go back and look? You go look at all these guys who were strong believers, speakers. Savonarola in 1493, he was killed. Remember Bloody Mary? Remember the Catholic Church was moving into Anglicanism and leaving the Catholic Church. because of all kind of things out of the Protestant Reformation took came on the scene, and she came on in 53 and only was there 5 years, but she was going to get all the people back from that had turned to Anglicans back into Christianity. And remember what she did? Man, she killed Hugh Latimer and Ridley, Savonarola. Why? Because they believed in Jesus. She killed 300, even the Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Cranmer. Why? Because she didn't survive very long. You know, her role didn't last. But it's always been there. It's nothing new. When true believers in Christ live that out, it brings persecution. He said, they hate you because they hated me first. If you desire for the world to like you, then you will have to break your allegiance with Jesus. What does that mean? If your allegiance to Jesus is to live like he wants you to live, in order for the world to like you, you'll have to break that. You'll just have to follow the world, and you'll have to go along to get along. And that's all they want. You know, they just want us to go along. That's all they want to do. They don't want us to cause any ruckus. They just want us to give in and go along with everybody else. We will not be seen as a threat to them if we just live like we don't know Jesus. And that's what he wants, right? Well, he doesn't want us to be harmed. He wants us to get along with everyone, right? No, he wants us to live out the truth. And if we live out the truth of Jesus, we're going to be persecuted. You know what he said in 2 Timothy? I think I put it in your notes. See what? All those who live godly in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. Why? Because you remind people, especially the ones who are not living right, that they're not living right. Even though you might not say anything. But if your life is living it, they see it. And so they want to get rid of it, unless they really want to change. And unfortunately, too many times, they don't want to change. What does 1 John say? If anyone loves the world, if all you're about is what the world has to offer, prestige, money, happiness, if that is all that consumes your world, it says you don't love the Father. Basically, he's saying you're not a believer. If I'm more concerned about what the world I'm going to get from the world than I am for living for Jesus, I'm not a believer. Therefore, the world's going to be, they're going to like me fine. I'm going to live just like them. I'll cheat and lie and focus on whatever it is to get ahead. Basically, that's what the world system is about outside of God. That's basically what it is. Now, the reason the world hates us is Jesus and his followers, exactly what he says in these verses. Can you imagine? I was looking back over history, looking at how some of these things played out. Where were you in 1999? Remember what happened in Colorado? I was in Mexico, and one of the guys who worked there with us, he had gone to that high school, graduated from there in Littleton. And remember what happened there? Anyone remember? What happened there? Our first really bad situation. Columbine High School guy comes in. What was her first name? Cassie Bernal. Some of them were witnesses that said, you know, when the shooter came in, she was in there reading her Bible in the library, and he asked her, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I do, and you ought to consider his past. And he shot her and killed her on the spot. You know, in that situation, what do you do? Well, Jesus don't want us to die, so I'd say no, and then I'd go home and worship God. Nope, that's not the way that works. You know, and how many times has that happened since then? What last year in the fall in San Antonio, the little church, the little Baptist church, guy goes in there and kills 26 in South Carolina. All this hate stuff. Why? It's not anything new. Why? Because we bother the world that doesn't want to turn to Jesus if we're living in a way that they recognize it. That is, you know, that's the question. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you if you're committed to me. That's just the way it goes. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me because I testify of it. Why? I'm reminding it of what it has gone away from and what it doesn't have and how it's turned away from God the Father. The ultimate reason for the world's hatred of Jesus is that he testifies. You remember this situation, this is kind of funny, John chapter 7, where the disciple is trying to get him to go up, you know, to Jerusalem. He said, you know, all the guys go to this conference. If you want to be well known, you need to get up there too. Does that sound like the world? You know, it's in Christendom by leaps and bounds. Oh, yeah, God blessed our church, so we sat down and we wrote this book. And if you want God to bless your church, you just come by this book and he'll do the same thing for you. Sounds like the same thing to me. You know, if it was really worth something, they ought to give it to churches. Instead of just say, well, why don't you buy it for $15? You know, Christian books are not cheap, are they? And number one of those reasons I understand is because the production level is, you know, there are few of them actually printed, usually, and that's why. But, you know, they're trying to get him in this, go back and read that, where they're saying, oh, no, Jesus, you need to get up there. Everybody that is somebody is going to be up there. So if you're going to make it in the public eye, you need to get up there and let everybody see you. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm going to do. And he didn't. And he argued with them. Why? Because he wasn't looking for the world to endorse him, to love him. You know, it's amazing how all of us are so concerned about what everybody else thinks and so little about what Jesus thinks. You say, well, that's not true. Yes, it is. Look at your time and your money. You want to know what's important to you? That's all you have to do to gauge it. I don't, you know, it ain't up to me. Just look at what you do with those two things. Christ followers will be hated by the same world, partly because they are associated with the one that is supremely hated, which is Jesus. You know, if you've ever been friends with the outcast in the society or in school, and you hung out with them, everybody disliked you because you hung out with them, right? Isn't that where that went? So a lot of times the people who would not follow the path where everyone else, they found themselves alone because they're the only one that had enough guts to stand up because everybody else was too chicken. Why? Because if you were friends with the one that everybody else was against, they automatically put you in that lot, and so they wouldn't have anything to do with you either. Am I right or wrong? It's still that way, isn't it? It's called peer pressure. And now we just still do it even though we're grown. We don't have enough guts to stand up and do the right thing. It's also because as believers increase in the intimacy, as we grow closer to Jesus and look more like Jesus in our actions, it reminds him even more. Boy, we hate these people. Why? Because they're starting to look like Jesus. You know, that's exactly what it's supposed to be about. Every individual in the world loves his own stuff. You say, well, that's not true. I'm afraid it is. When you boil it all down and you look at people that have no conscience of God whatsoever, even the good people, and there are good people out there, but the fact is we concern about ourselves. That's it. The world does not really love each other. You know, it's kind of like the honor among thieves thing. You know, I'll get along with you as long as there's some advantage to me, right? It is that each individual in the world loves himself and the things that are his. Boy, is that ever true? It is. They only love others when it will bring an advantage to them. You ask someone, well, can you help me do this? Well, what am I going to get out of it? Isn't that one of the first things you see? Well, that's not going to be an advantage to us. I remember my brother talking to a banker one time years and years ago. I just left the farm and was off in Bible college, but he was trying to help a friend of ours who was trying to get into ministry, was going to school and needed a vehicle and didn't have any money. And so Thomas was going to go co-sign with him and help him. Wasn't buying anything new, just an old truck, just some way to get around. And the guy happened to be, well, I'm just going to say it, he was a deacon at First Baptist Statesboro. And he said, oh, no, we run everything like a business. We it don't really matter. You know, we follow the world's pattern. That's exactly what he was saying. So, well, Thomas said, well, I'll do it myself then. You know, that's just it. You know, everybody is looking for something that they can get back from it. And most of the time, you say, well, not everybody's like that, just 99%. And even a lot of those that are supposed to know Jesus are that way. You know, they don't put out there anything, especially if there's a chance that they lose it, if they're not going to get something back plus interest. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. Well, I'll help you, but it's going to cost you if I help you. If in the world, there's no pure love for the sake of love if God's love is rejected. You know, you're just doing it because it's the right thing. You know, when you really boil it down, if we're honest, there's always something else back there. Unfortunately. The world system loves only to pacify its conscience. So how many times will you see atheists out there doing something for humanity? Why? Because it's a conscience thing. Well, you know, I'm going to do this because I just need to help. They're not driven by any love of God in their life, and because we're made in the image of God, so we want to help. That's not it at all. Or to gain advantage. There's mainly those two reasons. Well, I'm going to do it so everybody will think good of me, or I'm going to do it so what I'm going to get back. And that's basically what the world system is. Therefore, the world will not naturally love Christians because what? We are not their advantage. We're what? We're their disadvantage. Why? Why? Because we discredit the world, we confront it, we condemn it, we rebuke it. If we're living a pure life, by our pure life and the Word of God, and so the world does what? They don't want to have anything to do with us. They want to hush us. That's exactly what Romans says. What? How do they put down the truth? By the suppression, they put down the truth by ungodliness. They try to cover it up. Oh, no, we don't want to see that. We don't want to have anything to do with that. The world loves its own, and it's not a sociological remark about the inborn suspicion of strangers. It's a moral condemnation. You know, that's what it is. It has nothing to do with just our makeup here on the world. Christians no longer belong to the world. Their allegiance has changed if we're trusting Christ. So the world hates the Christians because they hated Jesus. And what does he say? If you live godly in Christ Jesus, it's coming. You know what it should say to us? If we never have any problem with the world, we might want to examine, are we really believers or not? If Jesus doesn't alter our lifestyle in such a way that someone is offended, not because we're obnoxious. You know, some people are getting in trouble because they're obnoxious. I don't mean that. I mean, just by your lifestyle, when people are offended that way, that's the point. Hate isn't something that you can store up. It has to be vented. So all these people who hate God are looking for some way to vent it. So guess who they look for first? Believers. That's why. We can expect it. And it's only going to get worse. And the world has always hated Jesus and needs to unleash that hatred so they look to us because we're his representatives. Here's the question. Does following Jesus in our personal lives ever initiate any hate? Now, I'm not talking about just because you're ugly and toward people and you don't get along with people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from the simple fact that you're a follower of Jesus and your lifestyle has changed because of that. They hate us because of it. Do we ever see any initiation of hate in our lives just because of our personal relationship with Jesus? He says, if you follow me, that's going to happen. Maybe we don't stand out enough, huh? The world hates because they don't know God. But these things they'll do unto you for in my name's sake because they don't know him that sent me. Remember, Jesus got into so much trouble. Why? Remember the Jews who really thought they had a personal relationship with God? And Jesus said, remember in John chapter 8, he was real particular. He says, you are of your father the who? The devil. Did they like that? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, we know God and we have a relationship. And Jesus said, you don't even know him. If you knew him, you would know me. So, boy, did they get mad. They infuriated them. Infuriated them. Why? Because more than anything else, and they took up stones to kill him again. Why? Oh, that's exactly what happens with false religions. Man is born in the world in enmity with God. We're born as rebels. And unless we change, we'll die as rebels. By nature, he is rebellious and is full of hate toward God. And religious people are, false religion is just demonic. You know that, right? Liberalism, modernism, we're fighting that one right now, modernism or postmodernism. Those who call themselves Christians but deny the virgin birth. Oh, Jesus wasn't virgin born. They deny that he was Christ. They deny the verbal inspiration of Scripture. Oh, this is really not God's word. You know, that's just some stuff that was handed down. All that is a false religion. So a lot of these people, they don't get any hatred from the world. Why? Because they don't believe any of that stuff. They are under Satan's control, whether they acknowledge it or not. How many times did even Jesus tell Peter, you're talking like Satan? What did he say? Get thee where? Why? Because what Peter wanted him to do, Jesus said, no, that's not what we can do. Whether it's blatant atheism or whether it's a more superficial kind of liberal modern Christianity, they still hate and oppose God. All who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Isn't that great? Cheer up, it's going to get worse. That's exactly what that means. Jesus says, as the time draws near for my coming back, it's going to get more intense. So what are we supposed to do? Love the Lord our God and be faithful, even when they hate us. And they will. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. Lord, we thank you that you can sustain us. If we're your followers and they hate us, and they will, you can sustain us, not to retaliate in the same manner that they treat us, Lord, but you said that even more so would it be important for us to love one another, because we know the world is not going to love us. Lord, thank you for your truth of your word. Remind us today of how serious it is for our lives to betray what we say we believe. And in doing so, the harassment will come, but we trust that you will suffice in our lives and sustain us. In Jesus' name, amen.